Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
Come on!
Good morning. It is 5 a.m. on a Monday as Stephen Langford in with you. Anna Kagadakis has the week off, so it's just going to be me and you at 5 in the morning. And I'm talking about me and you, John J. Curley, who's sitting there with a big old smile behind the glass. Welcome in as we had a big weekend, really, in sports. And not necessarily in sports overall, I'd just say. The Giants had a big weekend, but on Sunday, that Djokovic and Federer final was one of the better events that you will see in sports. And I know a lot of people aren't exactly the biggest tennis fans of all time, but if you're watching that and you like sports in general, then you had to appreciate what you saw yesterday, because that match lasted for 5 hours. You didn't know when it was going to end. And these dudes are tired. That's what I think people don't realize about tennis, is how taxing it is on your body, especially when you're going 5 hours. So I just hope everyone was able to tune into that, especially if you woke up around 9 o'clock, then you caught the fifth set, and then you were up for another hour and a half watching it because it lasted that long. But I just wanted to get that mentioned in there. It's tennis. It could be a big deal. But yesterday, something big happened, and that was the Giants. They got another win.
Belt drives one to right field. Yelich all the way back at the wall. It is gone. There's that home run ball against Chacin that you're talking about. Brandon Belt has put the Giants ahead 2-1.
Shout out NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. And then, that's not really a big deal, I guess. Kind of oversold it. But really, there's a lot of interesting things happening with the Giants, so I'm going to talk about them in a little bit. We got Steph Curry. He made some comments on load management, and I wanted to really put a little spin on load management. And I'm not exactly going to get into whether we should talk about Steph Curry and the load management he should have. I don't think we need to talk about him resting next season, but I did want to put a little spin on it because he was at the American Century Championship. And, I mean, the man could golf, and he tied for 7th. And then he also did a couple interviews, so we'll get into that a little bit. Then also, some breaking news that just surfaced from the NFL world. Today is the last day in which you can sign these guys to long-term deals, these franchise players, and these guys you have the tag on. And Robbie Gould and the 49ers have officially agreed to a contract on principle. They need to come up with terms and everything, but they have agreed that Robbie Gould will be staying here in San Francisco. And Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 right out the gate. As far as like importance, ranking of importance for a guy like Robbie Gould to be re-signed, because I understand that the kicker is not exactly this sexy position. It's not one that you really think like, oh, that's the catalyst of our offense. You never think that. And I'm not saying Robbie Gould is the catalyst of the offense, but man, when they are down and they couldn't score, he would at least keep them in the game. And the importance of having a actually good kicker who can come in that you can trust, I mean, that's unmatchable. And I think that they needed to get this guy signed. This is just as important as trying to get Nick Bosa to sign a contract, because this was the last day to do it. And if you didn't sign Robbie Gould, then what are you going in there with? you got to rely on these guys because you can't always have you can't expect the offense to score a touchdown on every drive, but you at least can hope that you can get onto the opposing team's field, and you, as long as you get there and you can get some points on the board, that's really all that matters. And Robbie Gould is that guy for the Niners, and he's proven that. So luckily he is staying in San Francisco. Text on 95795 if you really want to just, I mean, tell me how important he is on this team is on a scale of 1 to 10. Because I'm thinking, man, getting him signed, I mean, I'd say like that's a 9, 9.5. I'm not going to go 10 because I never want to give a perfect 10. No one ever wants to give a perfect 10. But I'd go 9 or 9.5 for Robbie Gould. Very close. From the 912 on the Chillin' Audible text line. Yay, let's talk about more basketball. NFL coming up and everything, but let's talk more basketball. Not going to be talking basketball, 912. I'm telling you, I'm putting a little spin on load management. Now, it does stem from some comments that Steph Curry made, but I want to put a little spin on that. That's coming up next segment. But I did talk about this at the beginning, and this is the team that I really want to focus on right now.
Belt drives one to right field. Yelich all the way back at the wall. It is gone. There's that home run ball against Chacin that you're talking about. Brandon Belt has put the Giants ahead 2-1.
Okay, so the Giants ended up getting the win over the Brewers yesterday, and we're looking at the month of July. Now we look at it, and look at the schedule. Start off with a sweep of the Padres. That was the first three-game sweep that the Giants have done all season. You go against the Cardinals, who are always a good team from the NL Central. Took 2 of 3 from them. Then we go to the Brewers. Took 2 of 3 this weekend. Hell of a July. And home runs are a-hitting. And one guy named Buster Posey did this on Friday night, and this is something we really haven't seen since 2015.
Brewers will play the infield in.
And Buster hits a high drive. Center field. It is out of here. He knocks one off the scoreboard, and the Giants take the lead in a big way.
Now, the reason that I'm mainly bringing this up is because I feel like there's a lot of chatter right now. A lot of it. And that's talking about whether the Giants could officially be buyers at the deadline rather than sellers. Now, chill not by text line 95795. Where are you at with that? Because I'm looking at this, and I'm going to use a really just cliche girlfriend analogy type thing. All right? Now, this July has been fun. It's been fun to watch. But this team has been going really nowhere for the past 3 or 4 years. And you have an opportunity right now where you bring in a new GM who wants to make a change, and then you have a good couple of series. You have 3 good series in July. And now we're talking about whether the Giants should actually just change their entire mindset, keep this team going. Maybe they'll get a wild card spot, and maybe they can make a run in the playoffs. And I don't understand that at all. You got to still keep that one straight tunnel vision mind of, hey, we got to be sellers right now. Because this isn't a team you want to keep going forward with. Now, maybe with this outfield, who knows with this outfield, but if you got to get some sort of haul for this infield at least. Because Joe Panic, he's not really doing it. Brandon Crawford, he's been doing well as of late. He hit a home run over in the series, but I mean, you got to get something else. And it's just, I've never seen someone change their mind so quickly like the Giants fan base. Because I'm looking on Twitter and people are seriously wondering, oh, wait, should this team actually start buying instead of selling? I'm saying no, because there's one thing. The wild card is great and all. But if you're just playing for a wild card spot, then hoping to make a run in the playoffs after grabbing that wild card spot, that's not worth risking your future, especially for the next 3 to 5 years. And I'm going to make this really weird cliche girlfriend analogy that sports radio hosts always seem to make. But as I'm thinking about it, it's really the easiest analogy I could think of. And that's, you've been with this girl for a couple of years now, and you've been thinking about breaking up for a while. right? You guys aren't having fun dates anymore. It's past that honeymoon phase. You've had your fun, but right now it's starting to get serious. And you're thinking, I should probably, for my future, I should probably break up with this girl because it's for the betterment of myself. And then all of a sudden, one month, she just changes her attitude. And just you're like, wait, should I break up with this girl? Should I not? When reality, it's for the betterment of you to break up with her. Because in these next 3 to 5 years, then you're going to be unhappy if you stick around because it just won't be pretty. And you know what they're going to give you, what she's going to give you. So it's kind of like that. You want to break up with her, but then something happens and you're kind of scared to, when in reality you really know you should. And from the 925 on the Chill Nobody text line, is Alex Dickerson, Yaz, and Pillar really the great future outfield? No. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying if there's anyone they could keep, it's probably them because they have made a difference. Alex Dickerson's come. That's a big reason why they're even surging right now, is because Austin Slater came in. Alex Dickerson came in. They're hitting above 300. And Austin Slater, he's only had 23 at-bats. But they're at least giving them something. And Pillar's giving you something in center field that you haven't seen in a long time, and that's actually defense. And he's playing it well. But it's just, it's amazing how minds change. Because there's still 2 months of baseball left. You go into August, I'm looking at August right now for the Giants. Now, in July last year, I'm looking at the runs scored. 9-2-1-0, 2-3-2-13, 2-0-5-7-3-2-5. Now, there are a couple of crooked numbers there, but we're not used to seeing this team perform in July. And look at August. 8-3-3-1-1-5-13-0-4-5-2-3-1-1-4-2-3. This team's going to come back down to earth at some point. And you don't want to make that mistake, especially come July 31st when we have a different trade deadline now. You don't want to make that mistake of saying, we should try and get a flyer. And also, I'm thinking this. You cannot, especially if you're a Giants fan, cannot knock the A's fan for at least hoping for the wild card spot, because they're up there right now. They're in that second wild card spot. And I feel like a lot of Giants fans have been telling the A's fans, hey, you guys aren't actually going to the playoffs. You're just going to the wild card. It's a one-game thing. Talk to us when you have a World Series. So if any Giants fans right now are saying that sort of thing to A's fans, then stop it. Especially if you were saying you should buy at the deadline. Because that's all you're going to get. Is at most you're going to get the A's. A wild card game. Probably going to lose it. The A's are surging right now, by the way. And they just swept the Red Sox, putting up 10-plus runs. And, the White Sox aren't very good, but the A's are still killing them with power. And in that second wild card spot right now, that's where they're at. And we'll see what happens, because I think the Red Sox can at least make a run. I don't think they're ever out of it. The Yankees are obviously atop the East, but it's the AL East you really got to pay attention to. And I'm looking at the Rays. They're a good team, although the A's took the series from them. It's going to be interesting to see how it all works out. But we still have 2 months of baseball left, and this is a fun stretch. It's a fun run for the Giants. It's enjoyable baseball to watch, but we can't lose sight of the fact that in the next 3 to 5 years, they need something different in order to win. They need to build on the Joey Barts. They need to build on the Elio Ramosos. They need to build on the Hunter Bishops, and they need to build around that. And this core, and it's had its fun. We're looking at plays like this.
Brewers will play the infield in.
And Buster hits a high drive. Center field. It is out of here.
But we can't expect that to continue to last. All right, so next up. Steph Curry had some comments on load management. I wanted to put a twist on it. And Chilton Autobody text line 95795. I don't have Anna in here today, so I'm going to need your help and your suggestions, because I want to put a spin on this, and I'm not going to just talk load management in basketball and what it means for the association and why it's bad for the game and how these guys need to play when the fans are paying to see them. And it's not going to be like that. It is a different twist with load management. We'll talk about that next. Stephen Langford in with you, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakarakis.
Good to be with you. 5:20 in the morning as the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information as I stumble my way through that read. You know, this Giants team... What do we make of the 2019 Giants as they're having a real hot July? That's what we've been discussing for the first 15 minutes of the show. And I want to get into this load management comment from Steph Curry and put a little twist on the conversation. And from the 650 on the Chill Not Body text line, the Giants were a wild card team, I believe, in 2010 and won a World Series. Well, they were in 2014. Points being, you can go all the way if you just make the dance. You could make that argument, but you also got to think that every single thing went right in that World Series and in that playoff run. You're going to need Madison Bumgarner to go five innings a game in game seven so they can get the win. There's just so many things that have to go right. I understand you make the wild card, you have a shot, but it's just such a... It's a long shot, and you make the wild card. Well, what do you do when you lose? And you just lose in the playoffs, and you just go forward without really having much of a future and just putting all your stock into these players that maybe could have made the playoffs. I just don't see it. So Marcus Thompson of The Athletic, he caught up with Steph Curry, who's a hell of a golfer. I wish I would – if you're at the American Century Championship, I think the twosome was at least Justin Timberlake and Steph Curry. Is there anyone else you'd want to golf with more than Steph Curry and Justin Timberlake? No, not really. I don't think so. I'd love to be a part of that. But anyway, he caught up with Marcus Thompson, and when asked if Curry would do load management, this is what Steph Curry replied with. Hell nah. We've got a great opportunity to build something special with some hungry guys looking to prove themselves. There are so many narratives people can throw at us. But at the end of the day, I've never been the type to show up with any other mindset than to do what you do. And that's hoop. We've got championship DNA. We know that. We've got our core when Clay gets back. It's going to be an interesting year for sure, all the way around. It's going to be challenging to really find that momentum early. But with the new arena, losing the finals, this summer is a different vibe. Keeps you locked in. Now, I would... read this article, especially if you're just trying to get some hope for the season and you feel like hope is lost. Because when Steph talks, I'm reading this, and the dude, he's talking different. And he's got this confidence that you really haven't seen, this cockiness, this confidence, whatever you want to call it, that you really haven't seen about him. But I think my main question here was, I was trying to figure out ways yesterday to sort of talk about load management in a different style. And Chilton Autobody text line, I need your help. And I'm wondering which athletes in sports say if you were to – which athletes in sports? Are you athletes or all athletes in sports? That's like saying which actors in movies and TV. Which athletes, if you're – say you're going to the arena. Say you're going to Chase Center. Say you're going to Oracle Park. Say you're going to – I'm just going to call it Ricky Henderson Field because I never know the name of that thing anymore. Say you're going to – SAP Center. Say you're going to, oh man, what am I missing here? Say you're going to Levi's. Say you're going again to football, to the Raiders, to the Coliseum. Say you're going to those and you got an opposing team. Which player or which athlete would you go in there wishing, damn, I hope they get some load management today? Ones that just annoy you and you're like, if they took the game off, I really wouldn't be mad. Because your first answer, especially if you're thinking in basketball terms, I would say something chill on my text line, how to manage your load with Steve. Thank you, 916. But I'm wondering, who are these athletes that just frustrate you? Who really, you just look on the field, they might be, now you got to think of this as in, now you want to see the stars, right? even if they're on the opposing team, if you're watching the Warriors against the Lakers, you're going to want to see both LeBron and Anthony Davis play. If one of them takes the night off, you'd probably be pretty sad about it because LeBron is one of the greatest to ever do it, and Anthony Davis is an up-and-coming all-star who you want to see on a new team. Say you're playing the Clippers. You don't want to see Kawhi or Paul George take a night off. But there's one guy you got to think of who you're just like, damn, I hope that he gets load management today. I don't want to see him on the field. Whether it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, whatever. And I'm thinking guys like, for me, one, it would be Eric Gordon. And that's because every time I'm watching a Warriors game against the Rockets, Eric Gordon always comes up in the clutch moments, even though he's been going cold all game, then he'll just come in and throw a three in your face and you wouldn't even expect it. And I get so frustrated anytime Eric Gordon just makes a three. I don't know what it is. And if I'm going to football, I'm thinking if I'm like I'm a Raider fan, so if I'm thinking they're playing the Patriots, one guy I wouldn't want to see, Julian Edelman, Bay Area kid, seems like a great dude overall. But when I'm watching the Patriots, I do want to see Tom Brady because it's Tom Brady. But if he doesn't, if Julian Edelman's not there, I'm not caring because that man just goes with little slants. You're on a third and eight. Then they just get a first down off a little slant to Julian Edelman when Tom Brady just throws it. If Tom Brady has an inch of space, he will throw it to whichever receiver is open because his vision is that amazing. But he puts guys like he puts wide receivers in positions for death and knockout because he'll just throw it right in his chest, even though he's got two defenders covering him, maybe, but with an inch of space. And then for the 650 on the Chill Not Body text, I'm PJ Tucker and Pat Beverly. Van Vliet and Beverly. I think Fred Van Vliet's probably a common one now, especially if they're at last game. But yeah, I'm just wondering who are guys that you just don't really care to see on the field that just annoy you. And if I'm going in baseball, yeah, I would say Yasiel Puig because that man has been really something these past couple of years, and he'll throw it in your face if he does well, but I also do kind of like watching him play. And from the 408 and the Chill Not a Body text line, Chris Paul and LeBron James, keep all that flopping in your own cities. Chris Paul is one. I think Chris Paul is one that we're totally fine if his load is managed. I think we're totally fine with that. But I'd rather see LeBron on the court than not. And I know he rubs people off the wrong way, and he doesn't always come off the best in these post-game press conferences, and he always takes subtle jabs at his teammates, and we don't really respect that sometimes, but what the man does on the court, he's a superhuman. It's the same with, I mean, right now, probably not the same, but I'm thinking back when he was on the Magic, Dwight Howard was one guy I always wanted to see. I watched that guy on the court, live, scored 30-plus against the Warriors at the time. Took away some points from Hedo Turkoglu. Not mad you're taking points away from Hedo Turkoglu. From the 925 on the Chill Not a Body text line, Alex Bregman. That's one I'd want to see. Alex Bregman's a damn good baseball player, but I'm going to imagine you're probably an A's fan, 925, because he is on the Astros, but that man can hit, especially for his size and his stature. Jeez, that thing came out earlier this year when talked about he wanted to be the LeBron James of the NBA. Then they asked him about it. Was it the home run derby or the All-Star game? And it was a home run derby. Wasn't in the booth. And he was just like, no, I don't want to be the LeBron James of the NBA. I want to contribute to the community like LeBron James, but I don't want to be the LeBron James of baseball. I don't think I'm going to be the greatest of all time. And also from the 408 and the Chill Not a Body text line, as an A's fan, Verlander, he's a killer. Yeah, you don't want to see Verlander in the wild card game. That's for sure. But you're not going to see him this year because the Astros are just too damn good. And they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the West. That's going to be interesting to see how the AL wildcard shakes down. From the 408 and the Chilton Autobody text line, no Harden. No need to see the flop fest. James Harden's an interesting one. I don't know whether I'd want to see James Harden on the floor or not. Like, my gut is telling me no because you get so frustrated with that little step back daddy he has just going in between his legs, trying to fool the defender and then just stepping back and then flopping. But also, James Harden can do some incredible things. And that's and personally this year, if I'm going to Chase Center and the Warriors are playing the Rockets, I would rather see James Harden and Russell Westbrook on the floor at the same time just to see how that dynamic works out. From the 415 on the Chill Not Body text line, Brian Wilson in his stupid beard. That beard was phenomenal. I don't know what you're talking about, stupid beard. From the 707 on the Chill Not Body text line, Manny Machado is annoying. Yeah, it can be annoying, but he's also really, really good. Now, he didn't even make the All-Star team this year, which is a shock, but he's a very good player. He's one guy you want to go and see, I think, and especially what he can do in the infield. We can discuss this on the other side because Steph Curry also did have some comments on Draymond Green, but we do have some news out of the 49ers world, and we'll get into that too. Stephen Langford in with you on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadakis.
Pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. Chill Not Everybody text line 95795. Stephen Langford in with you, by the way. Anna Kagadakis out all week. She'll be back next Monday, but right now, we're just talking about players, athletes, and sports who you would hope to take load management. Say you're going to a game and you're going to watch an opposing team. Wow, that ended abruptly. Say you're going to watch the opposing team. Which athletes would you just, you don't want to see them. I'm good. Ones that frustrate you. Ones that annoy you. Ones that are just pestering to your team every single time they play them. And I'm just thinking of guys like, now you can't use big stars exactly, I don't think, because big name stars are ones that you came to watch. And even though, you know, you might not like them so much, you got to admit, like, they're at least great. So I'm thinking of guys like LeBron. Maybe in baseball, you're thinking of a guy like Cody Bellinger. In football, you're probably thinking of a guy like Tom Brady. But there's certain guys that you just don't want to see play. Now, we can use starters, I think, because starters are worth it. But I'm just thinking of guys like, for me, in football, it would probably be Julian Edelman. It would be that guy. Because nothing is more frustrating to me, especially as a football fan, when a team is third and, I don't want to say long, maybe not third and 12, but maybe something like third and 7. So you're thinking, yeah, all right, we got a chance to get a fourth down stop. And then Julian Edelman comes in, runs a little slant, then they pick up 7 yards for that measly first down, and they get a whole new set of downs. That annoys the hell out of me. And Julian Edelman, no one better in the NFL at that, because that man is a possession receiver personified. Quick news coming out of 49ers camp, though. One of the more important players, in my opinion, Robbie Gould. They have agreed to terms of a contract. Now, we don't know the details of that contract yet, but today was the last day to sign franchise-tagged players to long-term deals. Jadeveon Clowney and the Texans didn't get one done, so we'll see what happens with him next season. Who knows? Maybe even the Raiders or the Niners could kick the tires on him. But Robbie Gould, and I find that to be one of the bigger moves that is made for the Niners before training camp. You need a kicker. I know it's not a sexy position, and you're not, it's not one player you look at and you think, damn, that's the catalyst of the offense. But he's one of the more important pieces. If you don't have a kicker, man, I mean, look what happens with the Buccaneers. Look what happens with the Chargers. Some games are won and lost when it comes down to the kicker, and I think Robbie Gould's about as trustworthy as any kicker really is in the NFL. So from the 408 and the Chilton Auto Body text line, Eric Gordon and his threes, yeah. Yeah, that's one that gets me every single time, because there's nothing worse than when Eric Gordon is going cold in the beginning of a game and you're thinking, All right, you can give him the ball and let him shoot a three. It's fine. Then he just drains it, and you're... It's like when Van Vliet got the ball in the finals. I think that one... I guess it's these six men that do it. Guys you don't expect to come out and make a clutch shot, and they end up doing that. I feel like Eric Gordon's been doing that to the Warriors for a while, even when he was back with the Pelicans. From the 707 on the Chill Nobody text line, Drake needs load management. Yeah. God, the amount of influence that he has in Toronto, huh? Couldn't keep Kawhi there, even though he was going to sign him to OVO, his record label. Or whatever that is. I think it's a brand. And also from the 707, Richard Sherman when he was on the Seahawks. Yeah. Yeah, after he made that play with Crabtree, Richard Sherman became enemy number one for 49er fans, but now he's the number one guy on that secondary, and you need him. And from the 209 on the Chillin' Nobody text line, Lou Williams is a guy in basketball who does that to me all the time. Yeah, I was at that game too, where they locked the 30, or they knocked down the 32-point lead, and Lou Williams just on the pick and roll, going up to the rack, shooting from mid range, couldn't play any sort of defense on him, and him and Montrezl Harrell. That was about. I was confused. I was confused at that game. I'm just watching it with my head in my hands and, head on my cheeks, kind of looking like the kid from Home Alone on the cover, Macaulay Culkin. And I'm just looking at the floor the entire time like, oh, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It's not going to continue to happen. Then it continued to happen. Also from the 408 on the Chill Not Nobody text line, Dellavedova does it for me. Which athletes would you be okay with seeing their load managed? Hey, man, if they're using load management, we're going to at least use the proper tense for it. Managing their loads. That's what this is all about. From the 646 on the Chill Not Nobody text line, growing up as a Mets fan, Larry Chipper Jones. You know, pretty sure Chipper Jones named his son Shea, if I can get that correctly, just because he wanted to really stick it to the Mets fans. Could be wrong on that, though. Ah, yes, he did name his son Shea. All right, I'm correct. From the 707 on the Chill Nobody text line, Patrick Beverley was very annoying this past year for the Warriors. He's a frustrating player, but you kind of enjoy watching Patrick Beverley, though, wouldn't you? Because he'd go out there, he'd talk a little smack to the players, and then they'd start jawing at each other, and there's nothing more that we like seeing than players arguing every once in a while. By the way, did you see this news? The NFL is looking to make... And feel free to text the Chilton Autobody text line more and more with all these guys who you'd be okay with if they took load management. Because it's something that we don't want to see from the stars exactly, but there's guys out there that just annoy you and pester you. And Patrick Beverley is probably like the number one right now on the text line, along with just anyone on the Rockets, really, is what I found on the 95795 Chilton Autobody text line. But have you seen the NFL, though? They are proposing an 18-game season, where they will by the time the collective bargaining agreement ends in 2020. But it's come up again, and I'm wondering how they're going to do that, because they're saying it's going to be an 18-game season, but they're also going to have players play at a 16-game limit. So they would expand the rosters, and you'd have to... I mean, we're talking load management in football now. And if they create an 18-game season, then that's what they do. They put a 16-game limit on the stars. And it's like, what do? You just sit the good guys in the first couple of games, and then the rest of the season you have them play? I'm all for an 18-game season as long as you take off preseason games. We can have 2 weeks of preseason, then 18 weeks of regular season. I'm totally fine with that. But if you're going to have stars at a 16-game limit, I'm not necessarily sure I want that. From the 707 on the Chilton Autobody text line, Daniel Murphy. Daniel Murphy's an interesting one. Haven't really seen that guy in a while. He was really good when he was on the Nationals. From the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line, Sean Smith, when he was a Raider, dude, was burnt toast. Yeah, the Sean Smith thing didn't really work out. From the 408 on the Chilton Autobody text line, Tim Salmon, back in the days when he played the A's. You know, there was one time I went to an A's and Angels game back in 2000, I think it was 2002. And I think Troy Gloss, I was sitting close, and Troy Gloss hit a shot to left field, and I'll never forget the crack of the bat from that one in my life. The A's ended up winning, and Jermaine Dye actually gave me his baseball bat that game after it because I was that close, and I was able to kind of yell, hey, good job, Jermaine Dye, and then he gave me his bat. One thing I'll always remember. From the 818 in the Chilton Autobody text line, Jeter flipping the ball to get Giambi out. Yeah, I remember that game too. Man, I was there. It was the most amazing play I think I'd ever seen live. But from the 916 on the Chilton Autobody text line, that's called the preseason. Yeah, if they're going to give, if they're going to put an 18-game season in place and they're only having players limited to 16, what's really the point? You might as well just make the preseason 2 weeks and then the rest of the season just regular season games and actually have them matter, because 4 weeks of preseason is just, it's too much. It's a whole month. I mean, I can't speak from the players' terms, and I'd love to get Lo Neal's thoughts on this when he comes in here, when he comes strolling in here and starts taking off his shirt and just flexing at me at the end to distract me, but I want to get his thoughts on just the preseason in general, how players view it. I wonder if they look at it as a time to really tune things up. Maybe they do need the 4 weeks, and as fans, we're just greedy and selfish, and we want to see them play 18 games as a whole. From the 408 and the Chilton Autobody text line, Jeff Kent when he was a Dodger. Yeah. Just talking about players you'd love to see their loads managed, because Steph Curry came out with a interview from Marcus Thompson of The Athletic, and he ended up saying, hell nah, when it comes to free agency. Or free agency. When it comes to load management. My goodness, it's early in the morning. But yeah, he said, hell nah, when it comes to load management. We're saying, hey, what's Steph going to do now, especially when he's going to have his minutes upped and he's going to have to play even more than expected when Clay's out? Is he going to be doing load management? And Steph's like, no. But we'll see, though, because I think it's going to be Steve Kerr's decision in the end, and he's probably not going to be able to force Steph Curry to take time off, but we won't know until the regular season. But right now, Curry's talking about as confidently and as brashly as I've heard him talk, or at least seen him talk, because I read it in the article. But he's got this newfound sort of goal, it feels like, especially right now. From the 408 and the Chilton Autobody text line, teams can pick two random weeks to rest certain players. It makes sense. Yeah, but it's just, when are those weeks going to come? And it's not just certain players. It's at least every player throughout the season. And if you're going to sit, how many players are you going to sit? I don't know how many guys. It's just a weird thing to me. And I don't really understand it. But again, the collective bargaining agreement doesn't end until 2020. From the 707 on the Chilton Autobody text line, any Giants pitcher in the All-Star game? Yeah, that didn't really work out too well. Will Smith gave up a homer on his first pitch. Speaking of which, I don't know where we're at with the Giants right now, because I'm seeing a ton of just, I've seen a ton of minds change when it comes to trading away players. It's saying, hey, we got to trade this guy at the deadline. We got to trade this guy at the deadline. Now that they're 4.5 games back of the wild card, still 6 games back of the West, it's like, not 6 games back of the West, my bad, but I don't even know why people think they should be buyers at this point. They're saying, get a flyer, maybe try and make a wild card push and then go into the playoffs with uncertainty and then go into the next season with these same guys and hope that they can make the wild card again. Man, when the Dodgers are surging, it's just, it's been their time for 5 years now. It's been their division. Even in 2014, when the Giants won the World Series, the Dodgers still took the West that year. And so you're wondering, why do people even want to think about buying at the deadline again? Because You have plays like this that happen on Friday.
Brewers will play the infield in.
And Buster hits a high drive. Center field. It is out of here. He knocks one off the scoreboard. And the Giants take the lead in a big way.
Man. Buster Posey hitting a grand slam. It's just, we haven't seen something like this in a really long time. And when they have a two-week surge, when they come out and they sweep the Padres at the beginning of the month and they get a series win over the Cardinals and then they get a series win over the Brewers, now it's all of a sudden, oh, wait, this team sort of looks like they're actually going for the wild card, but they're really not. Like, some people actually think that they can make the wild card this year, and it's just, it's two more months in the season, and you got one trade deadline now. It's not like you're going to have two chances to make trades. It's now or never, really, with these next 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, you got to trade Bumgarner at this point, because Bumgarner, you could argue that, sure, his value might have been higher, way higher 2 years ago, but right now, compared to last year where he was at, His fastball velocity was way down last year on average. And last year, I didn't know if you could get as much as you could for him this year. What can they get for him this year? I don't know. But they also need to watch out for these guys that are on home run surges. Buster Olney wrote an article on ESPN yesterday, and he said one executive basically said they don't know what to make of these guys who are just yakking home runs. Because they're looking at it from a Chris Carter perspective. Chris Carter led the league with 42 home runs 2 seasons ago. Then he got traded to the Yankees, and now he's not even in the bigs anymore. And they're looking at guys like Ketel Marte, who on the Diamondbacks hit, I think, 8 home runs in 200-plus games, and now he has 20-plus. It's just, they don't know what to make of these home runs anymore. And what if next season, there might be another change in baseballs, and all of a sudden the ball's not bouncing off the bat like a golf ball anymore? What do they make of those guys? That's one thing at least the Giants need to watch out for, are these home run hitters who they feel like can have a solid future being a home run power guy, and then they just flame out. You don't want that. Man, Bumgarner, though, Will Smith, Sam Dyson, I think they're all expendable. Evan Longoria's really been surging lately. He's been hitting with power like we haven't seen from him in a couple of years. Like, he's yakking him out of here. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Oral Hershiser. Whole career needed to be load managed. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. We kind of brought it up in the beginning of the show. Which players would you be okay with seeing their loads managed? Which players, if you're going to a game and you're watching the opposing team, who's one guy where you're okay, I don't really care if he's going to be in the game or not. Now, if you're just looking for otherworldly athletes like LeBron, who might annoy you, but you got to think about that. You got to think, would I want to see him play? Yeah, probably. That's where I'd be at. From the 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Giants win one game and look how much praise you give them. Jeez. From the 925. I mean, I'm just trying to tell you the pulse of the Giants fan right now. And the pulse of the Giants fan is some of them actually think they should be buyers at the deadline just based on this run. As intern Ryan just walks in with a Giants hat on and thumbs down because he knows what's up. He understands that just because they're going on this little run in July doesn't mean you should change up your entire plan and how you want to landscape this team, because Farhan has a plan, and I don't think any sort of record, I mean, the guy just came from the Dodgers, who would win pretty much every series, and this is like the first time this season that the Giants have actually won consecutive series and beat teams 2-1, and they actually swept the Padres for the first time. Farhan's not being fooled here. Farhan knows what he's doing. Man, I'm trying to think about any other players, though. I'd be totally okay if their loads are managed. Guys who just annoy you, who pester you. My number one in basketball, would probably be Eric Gordon, because I can't stand that. When he is coming into the game, goes to the corner, just sits there, waits for a three, and drains it after he goes 1-for-7 early in the game, and you just don't expect it. Man, I don't know if you really want, like, these stars, though, to not be in the game. If you're thinking about it instantly, you're like, I would not want to see Tom Brady. But yeah, you would. You might want to see Tom Brady. If you're watching the Chiefs, you probably want to see Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce? Not sure. Because Travis Kelce is a big old tight end, and he seems to frustrate every team and every fan base. And when he goes out there and he gets a long 40-yard pass and he's outrunning everyone in your secondary, I'm wondering, I mean, you might want to see him. I'm just going down the list here of teams. Like, what are you pointing at me for, John Curley? Sorry, producer John Curley, coming up in the morning with Joe Lowe and Dibs. He's just pointing and laughing at me. From the 925 on the Chill Nobody text line, Yasiel Puig, that's one, but man, sometimes he's very entertaining to watch. And if you're looking at a guy who, say, there's a runner on first and Yasiel Puig's in right field, and you want to see someone hit it to the right center, and then Yasiel Puig goes running out, then makes an unbelievable throw, that's a possibility you can get from Yasiel Puig, although he is a very annoying, pestering guy, and I understand why fan bases probably wouldn't want to see him. From the 415 on the Chilton Autobody text line, Austin Rivers, he's more off than he's on, but there's nothing more annoying than when that dude actually makes a clutch shot. Thought he was going to be on the Warriors till the whole Andre Iguodala thing happened and they hit the hard cap and they really couldn't afford much. I thought Austin Rivers was going to be on the Warriors. Real quick, there's something going around right now about Area 51, and later this month there's going to be 500,000 people storming Area 51. Whatever that means, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know who's going to coordinate that. I don't know who's going to be sitting up at the front with a megaphone just trying to get everyone to all storm Area 51. But there's something I want to play from last week. And if you missed it, Jose Canseco called in to the celebrity call-in contest, and he had this to say about Bigfoot, aliens, and any other mythical thing.
Yes, and myself, my manager Morgan, yes, we're eventually going to take a trip. I'm a big Bigfoot fan. I'm a big alien fan. We've done some stuff on my podcast. Actually, we've interviewed aliens, which are going to come out now. We're trying to put an expedition together to hunt Bigfoot. So, yeah, we're getting involved in a lot of crazy things.
Going to interview an alien and then put it out probably on a podcast. Man. I'd listen to that podcast instantly, though. Joe Lowe and Dibs, they're going to be coming up. Dan Orlovsky at 6:30, Brian Baldinger at 8:30, and John Clayton at 9:30. Now, those guys, football guys. And John Clayton's about as plugged in as anyone. And if you're, I mean, you got to tune in at 6:30, too, because Dan Orlovsky will give you some interesting insight, especially to this 18-game season thing, because that's what I'm most curious about right now. Do you really want to put 18 games in a season and then limit players to just 16 games? I don't know. I don't know if I'd want that. From the 925 on the Chill Nobody's text line, or rather the 707, any team from Boston. Okay, I'm not talking about entire teams. And plus, you wouldn't want to watch the Red Sox play. I mean, that's just fandom. That's just fandom. And from the 408 on the Chill Nobody text line, Cole Calhoun, top five meathead, I'd say, in baseball if you had to choose meatheads. I'd go Derek Dietrich, Tyler O'Neill, Cole Calhoun, Yasiel Puig is up there, then John Curley from Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And also from the 925, Bigfoot on steroids would be a wild thing to see. Joe Lowe and Dibs finally back, full squad, full strength. The ones are in. Lowe's sweaty with a shirt. Dan Orlovsky, 6:30, coming up next. Stephen Langford here with you all week.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.